Hi, is this Roger?
Yes.
Hi, Roger. It's Natalie calling from MMA Legal. Is this a good time to speak?
Yeah.
Yeah? For data protection, are you able to confirm your date of birth and your address, please?
37 Donald.
Lovely. So, I just need to make you aware that if during the call you disclose any safeguarding, I would need to make a referral for this and I would discuss that with you in the first instance.
Mm-hmm.
I need to make you aware that the call is also recorded for compliance reasons. Are you happy to continue?
Thank you.
Okay, so today is just a quick call just to gather some more information to record the impact of your time in care.
Mm-hmm.
What age did you get into care, Roger?
I'm not sure I'm in care. At the age of 2.
Yeah.
And that would have been, I'm assuming that would have been initially at the same time as my sub has been put in as well, so I would have been brought over to the state. I think it's extended Glasgow, and I came over to the west side.
So was that
the Glasgow
local authority?
Yes, Glasgow City Council. They've been in Strathclyde Regional Council back today.
Okay, Glasgow City Council. And Strathclyde, was it?
That was Strathclyde. It was originally Strathclyde Council, basically just the borough on the big planet. And I had to sort of drop to Strathclyde, but it just became Glasgow City Council. But it was the council, the council run facility.
Okay.
And that's faithful and supported by.
Were you known by any other names or any nicknames at all?
No, that was just my name.
Okay. And care settings I've got down is Winton Lodge, which was 72 to 78.
Yeah.
Were there any other care settings that you were in?
Not that I'm aware of. We had the bare points where we were moved about during industrial action. Because basically staff were striking, etc. back the day before, so I used it a lot. But no, that was the main residence basically in Thomas Fawcett for the first time I moved from there to Temple at Annie's Land. And we fostered by a couple of years.
Okay. During your time in care, what schools did you attend?
First primary would have been Kelvindale Primary. Kelvin, as in the river Kelvin.
Yep, Kelvindale. Yep, primary school.
I've been there, then I got fostered, I'd have went to Temple Primary in Annie's Land.
And whereabouts is that one?
Annie's Land.
Annie's Land.
Yeah, just out of Glasgow.
And where was Kelvindale?
Kelvindale's also Glasgow, these are all in Glasgow, just in one area.
Okay.
So they're pretty close to each other. Kelvindale and Annie's Land are side by side when I'm at.
Right.
Sort of thing. And then Temple, the Annie's Land part of Temple is, again, they're also side by side.
Yeah, brilliant. Did you go to any other primary schools or a high school when you were
there? Again, education was about a lot for me, so yeah. Education wise, I started off in that mean first would have been Knightford Secondary, I think, in Glasgow.
Okay.
And then Clevedon Secondary in Kelvindale, so sort of back and about back and forward in a very small sort of demographic area.
What was it? Sorry, I missed that one.
Clevedon Secondary.
Cleveland.
Yeah, and that's in Kelvindale as well.
Okay.
Knightswood Secondary School is now called Knightswood School of Dance and Music. Yeah, you know, that's like a ballet company from what I gather, most on site for people there.
Right.
Amateur dramatics and stuff. So, yeah, so I've done that. So, in Cleveland Secondary School first, then I've Knightswood Secondary School first, then Clevedon, kicked out of two of them and then sent to a special school, if you like, for disruptive children. That was a place called Cartvale, and that was based in a primary school, attached to a primary school over on the south side of Glasgow, at Kirk Park. Yeah, and that was our base, and that was my education, less school, but nothing basically.
Okay, lovely. And who's your registered GP?
That Dr. Hosey, makes a second, makes a medical practice.
Okay. Do you have any other professional support in you at the moment?
No. Even at the age of 56 now, I'm looking to start doing counselling for relationships and childhood trauma. Because even at 56, what's your perception of relationships and what it should be? I mean, some of the first couple of relationships haven't been the best. Had a son, don't see him anywhere, that broke down, so.
Yeah.
The relationship I'm in just now, my problem now is communicating, basically, you know what I mean? And explaining and not coming across as angry and shouting when I'm trying to do that, so I'm not going to try a bit of counselling for that.
That's amazing. So when do you start that?
We're starting that next month. So at the end of this month, we'll get paid, end of May. End of April, actually, we'll get paid.
So it's relationships and managing your emotions, isn't it?
Yeah, nobody, I suppose, at that point, nobody's getting the information when they're young. But I would imagine if you're coming from a settled background, a mother and a father figure who do what it says on the tin, then you pick that up from them. And that's it. The same as education and all the emotional support and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, again, nurturing, isn't it?
And again, the children's homes are very transient workforce. I work in care today, and again, it's still a very transient workforce.
Yeah.
Even with staff and social workers and stuff, it's still, that's still the lifestyle of these places. So there were, you had possibly one or two people that took a keen interest in you. And would like to support you, but again, it was a job, and when the job moved, or they moved, or something changed in their life, then you were there one day, and sort of changed your role the next type thing, and somebody else would come into your place then, you know what I mean?
It is hard, isn't it?
Yeah, you've no moral compass, it's basically a mini jail. I didn't realise it, I asked at the time, but it was a mini jail for people, all sorts of vulnerable people, who basically had nobody in their corner. It wasn't until later on that children's stuff started, where it was like looking into, families, looking at foster and stuff. I think the first chapter started at a group called Who Cares?
Mm.
It was about children in care, it was for children in care, and it was sort of set up for children in care. You sort of give them a voice type thing. Because again, back in the day.
You mentioned about going to the counselling. Have you received any mental health diagnosis?
I've suffered for depression. I've done the antidepressants and stuff with my doctor back in the past. Two attempts at suicide. Both of them failed, because I'm still sitting here, thankfully.
Yeah.
So I had the mental health side as well, the addiction side. It's been a roller coaster, a life so far, so
yeah.
We're just starting to get into such study of it.
A misdiagnosis, because you mentioned obviously when you were younger and having to move to, you called it, in your words, it was a special school, and you mentioned about behavioural issues. I just wondered if it would be worthwhile going to have a conversation with your GP or your GP practice, mental health practitioner, for a full assessment in terms of looking at specifically like personality disorder and ADHD.
The ADHD thing is definitely there. The relationship I had with my ex-partner who had my son.
Yeah.
My boy's highly autistic in that relationship.
Oh, yeah.
That's literally a huge.
Yeah.
I had sort of a brief interaction with him when he was sort of younger, but if you imagine a room with 50 shelves in it, and each shelf has like small toys or small items on that shelf. You can walk into this boys' room and literally pick up two or three things, look at them, put them back on the shelf, and then sit down in the bed. He can back at the bedroom, and with one look around the room, go to those three things that you had touched, and pick them up and put them back the way they should be.
Yeah.
So he's had a lot of trouble with himself growing up and dealing with it.
For your case, if you go to your GP and ask for that to be screened, that could help towards your case, because obviously they put you in different settings and you probably didn't get the right support growing up.
No, absolutely not. No, I mean, that's in your life that you were basically, you know, for a troublesome situation, you were already stigmatised for that alone.
Yeah.
Then the education side that came out, so it was either you were getting kicked out of schools, which was a bit regular because I was quite disruptive and whatever else.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel now, if I'm honest with you, in terms of like autism and ADHD?
Oh, no, people are still getting left behind. That. I know, I have friends who went through secondary school and teachers have pointed out the fact that this should be getting looked at. And they've got to secondary school and they've been happy through secondary school, and then they get to see somebody. And by that point, a lot of education systems lost on them. They're good with practical stuff, they're good with stuff with their hands, they're good with artistic stuff, numerical stuff, but actually sitting in a classroom and having to focus for that a period of time on that thing, it's quite hard for a lot of people, you know what I mean? But yeah, I've seen a GP about it. I thought about doing it myself years ago, just to prove myself that it's stupid, if you know what I mean?
Because then that thing... you've gone through a tough upbringing, and you obviously didn't have the right support in place at the time.
Yeah.
But for your own case, it will help if they didn't, you know, pick it up and get you assessed and get the right support in place.
Yes.
We can then evidence it that, you know, potential neglecting you needs, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But you need the GP to get this confirmed as soon as you can. So with autism, I'm not sure what you can do in Scotland and ADHD, because I know some wait lists are quite long, but sometimes you can opt out of the NHS wait list, and if you see somebody on the this is in England, I can't really sure what's in Scotland.
I think myself, realistically, given the state of the NHS, I mean, I'll check my doctor on that first, but I think up here, basically, it's just a case you put your hand in your pocket and you go for a private diagnosis, you know what I mean? About a grand and a half, for that to be done.
ADHD 360, I think they're around 500, 800 now. But they think they do autism and ADHD.
Yeah.
If it's a case that, you know, you could afford to do that, it might be for your own sake and obviously for your case as well, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about it previously, but this is just a bolster in my head as well, you know what I mean?
Sometimes it's that answer that you need as well, don't you?
Yeah.
Need that reassurance.
On the back of having the education, basically, I was the first person in care in Scotland to be accepted into the Glasgow School of Art. And that was previous to me being fostered for the first time.
So
you're talking about seven or eight, basically, at that age. And it was picked up in a teacher in school. Because I'd be sitting doodling in school and the teacher would be like, check this out. And it was one of the teachers that then put it forward and put myself forward to the Glasgow School of Art. So I got accepted into there. But at the same time that happened, which was a pretty big thing, that was in the first place started, and then the artwork and the Glasgow School Art stuff fell to the wayside because you work that in here and do this, and obviously there's all activities going on. So smart man.
That's nice.
At that point, anyway, you know what I mean? Somebody picked up on it.
And
so,
also, you know, the art thing, that's creative. Part of that neurodivergence, isn't it?
Yeah.
Creative. So you mentioned that you had two attempts at taking your life. Were they by overdose?
Using tablets.
Both of them, And how old were you when you did that?
The first time I was getting my second fourth of family. So I'd have been 14 plus at that point. So probably I'm not too sure with that one.
Yeah.
The second one would have been in my flat. That one I went to hospital for, basically.
How old were you then?
So you're probably looking...
16?
No, actually later on in life than that, no. I was living in the flat that I'm in just now at that point, so you're probably looking sort of late 20s, maybe into my 30s, you know what I mean? I've only really started living my life as a I would call it a functioning adult, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the last probably 15 years, for the age of maybe like 35 onwards. And I've sort of leveled out now to the point where I've been employed for the last 20 years in the care sector. I'm leaving my job at the end of April, and I'm starting a new job at the start of May, working with other people again, the learning difficulties, etc., etc. So I'm basically working with people like myself, but just have a wee bit further up the ladder with these guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You've done right, Amanda.
That's it, we're getting there, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, that lived experience as well when you're supporting people, like, it's nothing more valuable than that. I mean, people can read from a book, but it's not the same as living it, is it?
Oh, aye, absolutely. I'm a believer. If you're going to take advice after somebody, it's preferably somebody that's actually had that experience and go through it to be able to sit and tell you what they know, rather than somebody who's went to university, read all the books, but has no practical experience in the world of it. What they're talking about, unfortunately, that's most social workers these days, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You have no clue what you're dealing with in these books and whatever, don't prepare you for what you're going to deal with.
Yeah.
You get genuine people that do it, and the genuine people that do it end up burning themselves out. I say, I kept in touch with a social worker that I first had in the 70s that put me into Temple, the first foster place. And then when the relationship broke down, he got me back into care. But I had a relationship with that man up until he died like 10 years ago. Met him and his family, etc., etc. But he was a genuine person, and he burnt himself out in the social work sector, basically. Just the BS and the red tape, and just people not wanting to take responsibility for things and just wanting to pass it to somebody else, you know what I mean? So he ended up becoming a counsellor for Stirling, and said, go alone. So, an amazing man. But again, one of those sort of guiding lights, like the Ashtons and Jordan Hill, who could see the potential, you know what I mean? His whole career, and he dealt with thousands of people, his whole career, with myself and another young lady that he kept in touch with. She went through the same situation as me, and she eventually joined the Merchant Navy. And she became one of the first female captains to be doing something in that area. Because she was that driven, again, with the certain support for this guy in the back, you know what I mean? And again, this guy, you know, had social work friends out of strong contact with outside the work profession type thing. Okay, you'd have to have been in a sling, you know what I mean? You're not meant to have any contact with people once you leave that system, you know what I mean? So,
that is crazy.
Yeah,
When you went to the hospital, can you remember what hospital it was when you went to the hospital?
It would have been, it's actually not there anymore, so it would be the Western.
It's alright, because we get records. Sometimes they send a letter to your GP. If they don't, what we do is we're going to try and search the hospital records in our archives anyway. So we'll find as much as we can. Have you ever done any self-harm?
No, just the alcohol and the drugs based, but that's been enough, you know what I mean?
Okay,
so I'm not cut or anything like that type shit, no, I've seen enough of that and all.
Okay. What age did you start doing drugs?
13, literally. 13. It's that clear in my memory.
Do you remember what you started with?
Cannabis. Same as most people at that age.
Yeah.
But I don't, basically, you know what I mean?
And then did you progress from that?
Pretty much over my lifespan, I've tried every drug you can apart from ketamine and heroin. So if you get a buzz out of it, whether it be an upper or a downer, everyone in between, you know what I mean? It was just chasing a buzz, basically, but side of life, the bad one at the time, though, know, just saying no and all that stuff, like Zamo and Green Shell type shit coming in, so side of life at that side of it, watched other people come going,
Yeah.
Not when they fight with that stuff, you know what I mean? But it was never my thing. I never liked needles, to be fair. So the thought of sitting there any longer there, maybe 5 minutes, was just absolutely not, man. Mm. We're not going to do, we're not doing that, you know what I mean?
Isn't it, as well?
Just yeah.
Having that fear.
Yep, yep. So no, I'm excited about for that. But I will basically have done, most of the opposite of cocaine, speed, and keys, and acid, and speed, all that sort of stuff back in the day. But you know, my brother's choice is cannabis, basically.
When, do you still use anything now, or did you stop?
No, I still smoke cannabis regularly, yeah, every day.
Right,
so. That's the way I see it now, is, you know, I'm a functioning adult, it's a choice, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you're probably self-prescribing, to be fair.
Yeah, aye, to a big extent of that, aye.
Do you use any other drugs?
No.
No. Do you remember what age you stopped the other ones, so I can just put that on there?
I mean, that was part of time. So again, you're looking at, last time I took cocaine would probably have been in my 30s. And again, that was in a previous relationship, where it was just a prevalent part of the relationship. But it was a lifestyle thing as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every weekend and doing this and that. So you get to the point of just like, nah, it didn't interest me anymore. And again, the day if I went somewhere, I'm going to pull out a bag and be like, I'm like, nah, take that. That's, you're all right, draw the line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about alcohol? What age did you start that?
Alcohol, probably a wee bit later, probably about 15 with alcohol. That wouldn't have been sort of Jordan Hill. It was more prevalent in Jordan Hill. On sort of Posh Kids, which is that area, private school type thing area. We're all into stealing from mummy and daddy's drink cabinet type thing. So that was my first, but I've got before when I was about 14, 15, and that's it.
Has it become an issue for you?
No, I mean, I still drink. I have. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong, to a point where, yeah, if I had the money, but again, it was a sort of group thing. If you imagine you grew up in your house, your family, and all your pals go to pussies, or your dairy pussies, and you talk a lot about your pussies and parts and whatever of a group. But there's always adults present, and there's always somebody at the background, and then your mum's had to get you and your mum's with your pals, or vice versa at their house type thing. Me, I was 18 years old in a flat by myself, and no adult supervision. I mean, I was the adult, you know what I mean? So, first 10, 15 years in my flat, we're just, it was, looking back on it now, it was absolutely fucking horrendous for the people, the neighbours that I had at that time. Because I could have a party starting on Friday, literally Friday evening, and still be going on the Monday morning. And all the chaos that ensued with that, with people fighting, police and Lindy's getting put in, and all sorts of crazy stuff, you know what I mean?
Friday to Friday night.
Yeah. I mean, we actually, at one point, the place was called the Breakfast Club, because of a movie out at that time. And it was basically the Breakfast Club.
I've seen that movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was just sitting in my house with a VHS video, watching that type thing, you know what I mean? Like 15, 20 people that I thought at the time were friends, but realistically, my flat was just a sort of local youth club at that point, because everybody could come, you could do what you wanted here, and there was no attempts.
Kind of like cocooning now, isn't it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes, cocooning started by that point. These people were my age, or younger, you know what I mean? I was just an adult type thing and such, because I had a flat, so it was like, wow, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas now we're very guarded about, you know, the people going in their lives and stuff.
Yeah.
Because we've had all the bullshit said everyone else in previously. But we're still here. We're just about to start decorating again, so hold on.
Nice. So, do you have any physical health?
No, just my mental health. It's basically what I've been battered about, basically. The rest is walking and talking, 2 arms, 2 legs.
Excellent. When you were in care, do you remember going to hospital at all?
Oh God, I never got a placement.
Never.
Broken arm, falling off of swings, cracked skulls. I think the last count on my body, including, I broke my left arm twice. Sorry, I broke my left arm once in care, jumping over a wall in Kelvindale, and the second, after Kelvindale, after went and loads bumped down the first time, we'd moved to a Salvation Army property. They used to get a unit for young mums and babies. So the way these houses are set, if you imagine it's a large hill and you have terraced gardens kind of the back of these properties. So on your side of the wall, it's a 4-foot wall. you look over the wall, there's a 14 foot drop into the next garden. So we have 10 foot ball. The ball is over the wall. I'll get the ball, bounce there, trap doing, literally just put my arm out to the left, steady myself, and then my arm just went snap. And that was it. So it was the hottest summer in Glasgow, I think it was in the '80s, 88. And my arse was stuck in a hospital ward in the Western Hospital. That's what it is. It's the Western Hospital, and it's in Parfitt.
Okay.
Used to keep me there. And had to get two plates put in my arm on the left side, so that was that. And then I had to get them back in to get them back, took them back out again. So,
yeah.
An interesting experience at that point.
That's quite a lot of attendance then. I'm surprised that nobody sort of picked up that possible neurodivergence there.
No, I mean, it was just that was a funny thing.
There's
too many people involved in your life for actually anybody to actually look at one thing and pinpoint one thing. Because you're a shift pattern. So it's the same with my work. I come in at 7:30, I've worked at 2:30, I do a handover.
Yeah.
Anything happens to the person I'm supporting, noise, and the quiet guy, blah, blah, blah. And then I go away, and then the night shift went at 9:30, do the same thing with the back shift, and you've got all these people coming through your life on a daily basis, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a lot.
So for somebody to sit and pinpoint one thing, for somebody, like my teacher to sit and pinpoint, I was good at art, was one in a million, took my class, 20 or 30 people, you know what I mean? At that time. So yeah, it's a kind of good workforce, so things that a family member or somebody might pick up on, your quiet, your garbage, you're not the same, you're no bubbly, you're no this, you're no that. That was all missed because there wasn't one person, you, your mum, your dad, looking at you and saying, what's the story, what's up with you, you look upset, because they knew you and they could see something was different in you. If you get 14 staff on a shift supporting 50 veins, you know what I mean, or 10 staff on a shift supporting 30 veins,
yeah.
You're going to find it very hard to pinpoint one child to specifically say that you're not acting right, you've got a character. And plus, a lot of these kids come with the emotional baggage of abuse, etc., and neglect before they even get through the door.
Yeah.
So, a lot of them are very, you have no idea what these kids are like to start with, you know what I mean? So, you've just got to try and do the best you can by them. Some did it well, some should never have been in the care sector, just for the day. There's people in the care sector that are amazing, and there's other people that should not be anywhere near somebody, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, completely agree. So, what we're going to do is get some copies of your care records from the professionals that you've mentioned today.
He might be in luck. There's sort of perfect social work. It's still the building, is still there, and it's still active as a social work building in Glasgow.
Well, we should go to the local authority to look at the archive.
So,
do you provide us with consent to get copies of your records?
Yeah, I can get them back in. I saw them once when I left here, and literally it was a massive big basement and party in this old school, which is still the social work building, which is where you'll be getting the records from anyway, if they're still there.
Yeah.
And it was just, if you work in an office, you have the platinum boxes you make up to store files in.
Yeah.
And then you stack them on top of each other, so it's just a room full of these boxes, and in every single box is a name. And everything will meet on a box with that life, basically sitting in this room, in a box, basically. So all the records for me being in care were sitting in a box like that, and I had, I think it was like 1.5 grades to basically look through these records and
sort of my life. We will have it sent to us. Would you like to have a copy of that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And have you ever been arrested?
Oh God, I have.
Any convictions?
No. No criminal fines, just fines and stuff like that.
Okay, so what were you arrested for?
Myself, theft, car theft, stuff like that, basically, back in the day. I wasn't in the NPR car, it was a helicopter, so if you went out and boarded a car, basically, then that's about that's what you did, basically.
Yeah, so
theft,
car theft,
was there any assault
or anything?
Nope, nothing like that, no.
No.
So I could live a quite quiet life and stayed away for the bowl, basically.
What about, if the police came to the flat, was it like, did you get arrested then?
No, it was more for like noise, disturbance and stuff like that, you know what I mean? And it was other people that were getting arrested, I was the householder, so it was me. Or then come up to see me and go and miss the story, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So no, not me per se, no, I've kept quite a quiet life. More people in the bit, I've done the time in Dundee and that wasn't for me, so I didn't pursue any sort of criminal career.
Yeah.
Once things I got a bit smarter. Sorry?
Did you go to jail?
No. The closest I came was what you call an extract warrant. So basically in Scotland, I had a fine that I didn't pay. And the police tapped my door and said, how you doing? Have you got a warrant for you? And I was like, right, fine, I've had a warrant before. You go up, you'd sit at the police station for the weekend, you go to court on the Monday.
Yeah.
And you put your story to them, and the guy's like, no, mate, this is an extract warrant. And I was like, what does that mean? You see, basically, we're taking you here, you go to the police station, and to the police station, you go to Berlin Jail.
Mm-hmm.
And my arse dropped, and I was like, what do you mean I'm going? It's a £225 fine or something. What do you mean I'm going to jail? You never paid it, so I got an extract warrant. So, thankfully, I was still talking to my first foster mother then.
Yeah.
And she thankfully paid the fine, so that's as close as I came to, basically. She came up, paid £235, and I get let out to the Hill police station.
That was lucky, wasn't it?
Oh, the arse is doing buttons. He said, you think a children's home's bad in 80s, man? But when he was like fucking one flew over the cuckoo's nest on crack.
Bless your heart. Oh. So, what age did you leave care?
I left care at have been 18. And I moved into my flat in Banner Road.
So, I know you said legally.
Yeah.
Did you stay till you were 18, or did you go before then?
I was fostered first, so I'd went from the children's home to the second time I'd been Jordan Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So I was living with them. From there I got the flat, they helped me get the flat, and then I left them. So yeah, you're looking at 18, I'd left. No, sorry. At 18, because social work was still legally responsible for me.
Yeah.
Up until the point, and social work helped me get stuff in the flat, up until the point I was 18 and then had left the care system effectively.
Okay, so they helped you get a flat and seen to your flat, yeah?
Yeah.
So you got to 18, then when you got to 18, Nothing.
Not one person, not one interest in anybody at all.
Okay. Because it's up to 21 now.
Yeah, it's might even go up to 25, I'm not sure. I know it's at least 21, but they've got duty of care now.
And
because they are considered the guardian of that person, same as a parent, basically, you know what I mean?
And 25 is up to when they've got an EHC pay, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in terms of your support from ourselves, would you prefer a male or a female advisor?
Do you get a job, or do you pass it on to somebody else?
Well, you can stay with me if you're happy with me.
I feel that. We've got a bit of banter and I know it's a bit of crack, so I stay with you. There's no point in me sitting there telling somebody else, Evan, I've just told you, so
absolutely.
I stick with you.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. So, what's going to happen now? This is going to take about 10 months, okay? I'll be your main point of contact to the end of the process. My number that should come up on your phone, if you save that into your phone and if you have any questions, just give me a call. It does come straight to me. However, I've got no answer phone facility, so it will keep ringing. But if I don't answer the phone, it's usually because I'm on the phone. So we're going to now gather some information for your case, and then once we've got all the subject access requests back, like your care records and things, I'll then give you another call back and we'll go through that information together. We'll put that case through then to the Scottish Redress panel. They will do a panel hearing. It's a closed door panel hearing, okay?
Yeah.
That means that you don't need to attend. And then we will get told a date, so I'll let you know when that is. And then once they make a decision, we'll let you know that as well.
Yeah.
So as part of our compliance, and obviously because we record the calls, I just need to go through with you the options that you have, okay, to do this Scottish Redress. So you can independently do your own claim and research your own evidence.
Yeah.
You're entitled to choose a different solicitor from England or Scotland who has accepted a fee of £2,000 to act on your behalf to do your claim for Scottish Redress. They receive that fee if you win or lose, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's ourselves, NNA Legal, who can act on your behalf, but we have opted out of the fee from Scottish Redress. We only take 20% cut fee from your case if you win, and if you lose, we charge no fee. And that means that we're completely independent and we're acting for you. Are you still happy to go ahead with MMA Legal?
Yep, I will for that. That's me, yep.
Yep. And you're entitled to a 14-day cooling off period. Are you happy to wait 14 days, or would you like us to proceed immediately?
No, just proceed, just start the ball rolling.
Do you have any other questions for me today?
No, I'm here to light one up, to give a shout, and I've got for any more questions, Barbara.
Yeah, so what will happen is, we'll get on to the case, and if I've got any questions, I'll just give you a call. And then when we've got everything together, we'll go back through it all together, so you won't go through it on your own, if that makes sense.
Yep, I get you.
Yeah. And obviously if you need a break at any point for those things, you just let me know. You say, Natalie, I'm not ready to carry on now. We can
do things,
yeah. So that's everything from me today. And I shall be in touch as soon as I've got anything for you.
No problem. Look forward to it.
No worries. You take care now, okay?
Enjoy your weekend. Don't give too much drunk with the Prosecco.
And you. You take care now.
Well, do right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.